Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session with the Mesa City Council for Thursday, August 25th, 2011. I guess we're all here. The first item on the agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday's regular council meeting. Okay, items page 2, items 3A through 4B. Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question on 4B, the police vehicles. Is anyone there?
Or? Bueller?
Well, they're all dressed up and it looks so nice. We got to ask a question.
You'd ask Bueller questions if I wore a uniform.
No. I don't think it's the uniform that scares us. It's that sidearm. It's a little intimidating.
I'm sure you want to ask why we're not buying more cars.
That actually is my question, Chief. No, the question is, it's just the way, maybe it's the way it's worded, but it says 7 replacement vehicles and 3 additional to meet needs. And I thought we just, like, dumped a lot last few years, so it's confusing.
Well, and that's what we did the first year that I was here. We cut back about, I think it was a total of 80 vehicles. Obviously, when you remove that number of vehicles from the fleet, we end up with more miles on the cars that remain. We've also noticed over the last 12 months that our staffing issues are affected when we're at maximum staffing on the number of available cars. And then with repairs and crash vehicles, fleet has been nice enough to keep 10 of those older cars around for us to use as spares. But I had talked with the manager a week or so ago about trying to increase the fleet by about 6 or 8 vehicles per district just to take care of some of those staffing issues.
Thanks.
Where are we headed on, we're moving out of, the Crown Vic is no longer, right?
Yes, sir.
So what's the future in?
The two vehicles that we are purchasing, and we'll look at both of them as we put them actually into day-to-day operations, is the Chevrolet Caprice. It's actually built in Australia. It's from Holden Motors, which is a subsidiary of GM. But it's a rear-wheel drive vehicle. There's more room in it than the standard Impala that's available now. So we're buying 10 of those, and then we're buying 3 of the Tahoes with the police package.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
The next question, Pete could stay.
Okay, Pete. Stay.
I'm glad to do that.
Stay, Pete.
I'll be glad.
Did I do well?
You did.
Councilman Reagan.
Okay. On item 4C, when we discussed new, the increase required and why, and diesel maintenance, I can't figure out what emission standards has changed in diesel engines that would require us to upgrade what we're currently doing. So has the EPA said, hey, you got to change your current fleet to some new emission standards?
No, there's not. Well, yes and no. To the current vehicles, no. There's not a retrofit to anything that's current. But there has been an emissions change in 2010. There was one in 2007 and one in 2010. Which is driving additional costs for vehicles. And of course, the systems on the latest vehicles are a little bit more expensive to operate also.
So I thought a bigger chunk of money was just for the increase in emissions on the, how it read, okay.
Not really. What's okay. Taking place here is we have POs, a lot of it is driven by the economy itself. We have vendors with, POs with certain vendors that, well have gone out of business. Or they've lost the product lines that we currently purchase. So another vendor has been authorized to pick up that product line. So what we're simply doing is dropping the PO amounts with some current vendors and escalating with others. So we're not actually going to go over budget. We're simply moving
money.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, thank you. Anything else on 4C? 4D and 4E?
It's a dinosaur picture. I'm right on the verge.
My biggest question is why is it a replica?
Come on up. We're gonna go ahead and give them a presentation, even if they don't ask a question.
They're getting one from Tom on Monday. I don't want to steal his thunder.
We could find a local vendor. That was our.
We want a real pterosaur. What is a pterosaur?
The P is silent. It's pterosaur.
Then why have it if it's silent? Why not just start T? That's just stupid.
And pterosaurs is
I can't approve of a silent P. I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Hey, for this meeting, it's a pterosaur, okay?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Miss Indy.
Good luck.
Yes, the sea is
silent. The sea
silent.
Is silent.
We all have a little dinosaur lesson this morning. Tom Wilson's going. I don't want to steal Tom Wilson's thunder. He was going to present to you on Monday. You can see on the screen, I'll give you just a quick overview. You're seeing on the screen First Flight, Rulers of the Prehistoric Skies, which will be a Mesa Takes Flight exhibit at the Arizona Museum of Natural History opening in February. And it is a... first of all, they have the museum has two exhibits in conjunction with Mesa Takes Flight. One is the Hubble New Views of the Universe, which is on view now and very spectacular, comes to us from the Smithsonian. And then First Flight, Rulers of the Prehistoric Skies. And First Flight is about pterosaurs, and you might say, what are pterosaurs? Well, you're looking at one. Pterosaurs is the name for the entire group of flying reptiles that existed from the late Triassic through the Cretaceous period. So from about 220 million years ago through 65 million years ago, they're actually not dinosaurs, although most people think of them as that, but they are ancestral to dinosaurs, and they weren't birds, because birds actually descended from dinosaurs. At least I think there's some controversy about that currently, but that's the belief. This exhibit will focus on...
I'd like to be in that debate. If people have nothing better to do than to debate whether birds descended from dinosaurs or not.
Actually, it probably ends up being very useful in the understanding of birds, but that's a different matter.
Next issue.
I am not a paleontologist.
Hey, look,
but,
there's a 20-inch water line going in.
The key thing here is that these were, in fact, the first animals that flew on the Earth, and we are going to feature several fabulous models, including a model of the full body of a pteranodon, which is being created by our wonderful artist scientists at the museum and is going to be magnificent. But there is this is one of the features of the exhibit and will really turn it into a blockbuster. Quetzalcoatlus is the largest animal to have ever flown. The wingspan is approximately 39 feet, the size of a four-seat Cessna. And it would... the date in North America would date for this particular fossil from 68 to 65 million years ago. And, you know, you might ask, why do we want one?
That did cross my mind.
It flew across the horizon. Well, this will actually this will help transform the presentation of First Flight into a blockbuster. There are very few of these available to see. Our very avid audience of 140,000 a year should be significantly augmented by having something of this magnitude, which makes it really an exciting thing to see. It will be on exhibit for the First Flight exhibit, but it will also then be used permanently flying high over, well, situated, since it will be a skeleton, high over the area with Dinosaur Mountain. And the 25-foot actual replica of a pteranodon will be down in the scene for Dinosaur Mountain. So it's a permanent improvement to the museum as well as a feature for this exhibit. And these are just to show you what I'm talking about. You can see the life model for the pteranodon being worked on by our staff currently. They're creating that one. John Mack, who's a volunteer, is creating the life size model. And the pteranodon lived in the late Cretaceous as well, with a wingspan of 24, 25 feet. So both the fossil and the model will be on display for the exhibition, and we expect it to cause a stir among our visitors. People who visited us previously, we think, will make an extra visit to the museum to see this, and hopefully new visitors will come as well. So if you have any questions, I will try to answer them. Oh, there is only one source for this because the university that owns the rights that has the actual fossil has only one source that they will have cast from the fossil. That obviously happens when you have a very fragile object like a fossilized skeleton of this age.
I'm shocked. I would have thought there would have been multiple sources for Pteranodon, whatever it is.
Pteranodon, but this is Quetzal. If you want to be able to know how to talk about it, it's Quetzalcoatlus. So it's actually not unlike what it looks like. This pronunciation.
As in Quetzalcoatl from like Mexico type of thing.
Well, it's probably based in the Spanish, I would think. Yes.
Yeah, we won't go into the whole
Quetzal
thing.
Quetzal, right.
Okay, any other questions?
Great.
Thank you.
We hope to see you all visiting First Flight and seeing
now,
it with your own
eyeballs. I do have one question on a financial matter.
Oh,
you
yes.
have a budget that basically
make
priorities.
I left something out. I get my hand slapped by Chris because I was supposed to tell you that there is, in fact, a business plan for this, that because of the increased admissions that are expected and the length of this exhibition, the cost is covered through the increased admissions over the two fiscal years that the exhibition will be in place. And so we feel quite confident about that, and I should say that it's also based on the fact that Natural History has been increasing its admissions every year and had a record revenue year in the most immediate fiscal year. And no sign of stopping this summer was unbelievable for them.
So you're saying your plans are that this is supported by admissions and by
Correct.
Additional revenue coming in and not by additional general fund
Exactly.
things. Okay. All right. That's what I want to get to. Okay.
Great.
All righty. Thank you. Item 4E. Items 4F through 5E. Councilmember Fenter.
I had a question. Is there anybody here that could speak to 5A, which is the Intergovernmental Agreement for Childhood Immunization Program? I didn't see anybody from FHIR. I'll just follow up later. I'd love to hear how that program's going. You know, there's a tremendous amount of effort that goes out into the community. Oh, Chief Stubbs is here. I'm sorry. I didn't see him.
He was overwhelmed by the dinosaur presentation. Slow to react.
I actually wanted to stay in my chair so I could get a handout, but you called me out. I may have to follow up in a little bit. Mayor, Councilman Fintner, thanks for the question. As you know, that's over EMS, and that's Chief Camelli's area, but I've been involved with that. We're in the process. We had the one person that was over that program is retired. We're in the process of bringing somebody on board. In the interim, we have one of our firefighters, paramedics that helped with that program continued on. We, in fact, the program we have with the schools that we started, that the biggest program we have or the biggest push we have with that is with the schools for the months of September and October, and that plan is not changing. It's moving forward. All the shots that we need have been purchased. We have them in storage, and the schedules are being produced, are being handed out with the schools, and they will continue on as they did last year and the year before. Yeah. No changes.
Councilor Richens.
Having young children, we participate in immunizations, and I actually went by one of your events where they were doing immunizations and was stunned at how well attended it was. There was quite a line waiting through, but the efficiency and the compassion that the firefighters were giving shots to these little kids was very impressive. They did a really nice job getting everybody through efficiently, making sure they had the right medications for the right child. I was very, very impressed with the process that you guys put together.
Thank you. This will be started our fourth year, and we've worked, no pun intended, a lot of the bugs out, and I think we've got a pretty streamlined program now.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, but literally thousands of children in Mesa go through this program. I heard the numbers,
yes.
And they were just amazing. How many kids go through this and the service that's provided by the fire department in conjunction with the county, who trusts us greatly to be able to administer this program, and the schools, and We've received grants from Salt River Indian Reservation, handsome grants to be able to support this. So just an amazing program that I don't think sees the radar, but I was a little worried. I'd had some feedback. They were concerned about the transition and getting things going, but it sounds like you've got it under control.
No, and thank you for bringing that up so we can get a little credit for it, because it is a finely tuned program now, and we do thousands of shots, and it is a partnership with the county. The county requested someone from the East Valley a few years ago to step up and take this on because they had no one. We took it on, and we've grown into the program it is today, and I think it's very successful. And other than a few new faces in the program, you won't notice any bumps in the road. It's going to go. It'll be unveiled this year as it was the previous years.
Great, Chief. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Item 5F and items 6A through 6D. Mr. Brady, you want to?
Yeah, I'll ask. Bill and Patrick, maybe give a council a briefing on this. Council, notice we've kind of grouped all the items related to the Air Force Research Lab in one area just so we could act upon them together, and I think that'll be important as you see that this is a significant part of our transition here. So, Bill?
Good. Thank you, Chris. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council. Last time we were together as a group and talked about the LRA, we were actually signing an interim lease for the facility. Since then, we've actually engaged Alliance Science and Technology on management and also business recruitment. And now we're moving on to the next phase, which is we've hired RKG Associates to help with the economic development conveyance of the property. With that, we no longer have a need for a planning local redevelopment authority. Thus, the first resolution you're being asked to consider rescinds that body. The second step, as we moved along now, is to create an implementing LRA to be known as the Mesa Redevelopment Authority, and that focuses just on the lab and the efforts that's going on there. So City Council would be created as the implementing LRA. The third step it would be to provide some assistance to that. We are recommending a executive board to be made up of industry experts, really to be able to provide guidance on implementing and suggestions as we push this whole conveyance process forward. So the fourth step would be to actually nominate members to that board. So that's the four summary steps that are necessary. It really is moving at a very quick pace, as we're actually starting to talk about our first couple of tenants in the lab space.
And Bill, if you could go over who the members are.
Sure. First one we have is retired General John Regney of the Science Foundation of Arizona. Boeing's Chief Operational Officer, Tony Hamm. Third one is from ASU, Dr. Rick Shangra.
He's overall ASU in charge of their research
economic development efforts, right? Has been a great partner in the past as we continue to build that relationship as well. The fourth member is Brian Campbell, who actually is part of our Economic Development Advisory Board. Brian's been involved in this process since almost day one.
And he also serves as our representative on the Greater Phoenix Economic Council Board.
So. Absolutely. And the fifth person is the city manager's designee, which is probably will be myself, unless he changes his mind in a short term.
We'll see in the next slide.
Again, we're looking to provide guidance instead of, this is actually a working board. Chris reminds me of that on a regular basis. Everything from naming and what's the next marketing plan and who we're reaching out to, which direction, all the different partners that are out there as well. So. There's a lot of work and a lot of expertise that's here, and we're looking to take advantage of that.
Okay. Any questions for Bill or Patrick? All righty. Thank you. Items 7A and 7B.
As a matter of fact, Mayor, those two items I think are going to be covered here in the next
next presentation. Okay. And items 8A through 9A. Okay. Next item is to hear a presentation and discuss revisions to the air quality and stormwater ordinances, which were items 7A and 7B, I believe.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Scott Boucher, Deputy Director of Environmental Sustainability. Today I'm here to talk to you about proposed changes to our existing stormwater and air quality ordinances. First, I'll discuss the stormwater ordinance. This comes from our stormwater permit that we've discussed on several occasions lately. It's regulated by the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. It originates from the Clean Water Act and really looks at stormwater quality. Our original permit was issued in 1997. We received our second permit 2010. The goal of this program is to reduce pollutants in stormwater to the maximum extent practicable. This is done through the implementation of best management practices. Our new permit requires the City of Mesa to have an increased number of inspections that we're doing. This is just some of the best management practices. There's an increase in record keeping and reporting requirements. And there's also an increased focus on enforcement in this permit. One of those best management practices is that we have to have an enforceable stormwater ordinance. So we've had that since 1998. We've had our original stormwater ordinance. The changes that we're proposing are to meet the requirements so we can comply with the new stormwater permit. But in addition to that, because in development and sustainability, there's multiple inspectors that are doing stormwater and air quality inspections, we're streamlining that enforcement process by making it consistent with the current nuisance code. So there's one enforcement process that's done in the entire department. So that'll provide consistency across the department. To give you an idea of what the changes are, there's some definition changes to be consistent with the current nuisance code and also consistent with our new stormwater permit, adding things such as imminent hazards and notice to abate, and then adding definitions for things like the Arizona revised statutes and the Arizona pollution discharge elimination system, which is the program that the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality has for stormwater. And also removing titles that are no longer responsible for this program, specifically the title of city engineer, and replacing it with city manager or designee. The ordinance changes, most of the ordinance changes that you see are then to remain consistent with the definition changes that are made. And then also the enforcement section is completely revised to be consistent with the current nuisance code. So it's a mirror image of the enforcement policy that's in the nuisance code. The air quality regulations, this comes from the Clean Air Act. They're national ambient air quality standards. It's a health-based standard. And what our ordinance deals with specifically is PM10, which is particulate matter less than 10 microns. This is regulated by Maricopa County. The city was the first one, actually, to have a dust ordinance back in 1998. We made revisions to this ordinance back in 2007. Today, what we're looking at, what we're proposing, is just some minor changes, again, to definitions and titles. The definitions are to be consistent with Maricopa County and some of the changes that they've made from their program, where really it's just changes in titles. And again, to remove some titles that no longer exist, such as the building safety director, replace it with city manager or designee. And again, for that consistency and the streamlined enforcement process, this air quality ordinance will be a mirror image of the nuisance code, and if the proposals are accepted on the stormwater code, it would be a mirror to that. So you'd have all three codes that would be consistent. Again, it kind of went into this slide already. With that, I'll take any questions you may have.
Okay. Yeah, Councilmember Higgins.
Do we have PM10 monitors around the city?
We have one PM10 monitor in the city of Mesa.
And we know where it's at?
Yes, it's over at Broadway. It's Broadway and Brooks, and Brooks is in between Alma School and Extension.
So it's a good example or area that's consistent with the rest of the city. It's not like in an area across from a farm or anything.
Yeah.
It's
exactly.
A representative area.
Yeah, it's very consistent, especially since the city of Mesa really doesn't have any unpaved roads. You know, it's an area that's developed, and so it's pretty consistent with what we have.
Great.
So.
Great. Thank you.
I thought we had a seasonal monitor over at Falcon.
There's multiple air quality monitors in the city of Mesa. Just the only PM10 monitor is at that Brooks location.
And the city of Mesa does not run these?
No, those are run by Maricopa County.
I just want to make sure. That when we keep saying we don't have any. The Maricopa County has
That's correct. Maricopa County has the monitoring stations that are located in the city of Mesa.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oops, that didn't work well. Next one is to appointments to boards and committees. And as soon as I can.
So moved.
Have a motion from the Vice Mayor to approve the appointments.
Second,
from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilwoman Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. We had about 95 people in the kickoff of For Our City Mesa, including all my council members. I was very proud that they all came. It was a very nice event. And For Our City Mesa is a cooperative effort between business leaders, faith community, and nonprofit community, with a little help with city, to work together to do more together than they can do separately on community efforts, helping in areas where people need help with house painting, neighborhood cleanup, that type of stuff. So it's kind of a cooperative thing, so we do our efforts all together so we know what we're doing and we can do more together. So it's very exciting. 95 people. It was a great,
That's
great
good.
Turnout. And they're all very excited. 20 people committed to work on a committee to organize it all for the next year.
Good.
So we got great leaders in Mesa. It's very fun.
Thank you, and thanks to you for sort of leading this effort. It is a great effort. It's a good example of how government and our citizenry can come together really to maximize the resources. We have a great volunteer force in Mesa, one that other cities, frankly, are a little bit envious of because we never have a problem bringing people out. The challenge we have is having an efficient way to match that volunteer force with opportunities to service. And we have a lot more needs than we have ability to serve, and we have a lot more people than we have projects really lined up. And this is a great way to be more efficient in matching the resources with the needs. So and do so in a way that really takes what we have as a city, which is we know where things are, we have resources, and matching those with the people who can provide the legwork, the sweat, and make it happen. So thank you so very much for leading that effort. Appreciate it. Any other reports?
Just
yeah.
Mayor, yesterday I attended the opening of the Navy Federal Credit Union, which is another great, it's a bank, right? It's a credit union, but it's lovely located in District 6, south of the 60 and west of Greenfield. And I guess the credit union has been around for over 50 years, meeting the needs of our nation's military, retired and not my, so maybe you've heard of it. And my mother, Helen, was able to attend with me too, and we just had a little fun time. She got to stand up and cut the ribbon too. She just turned 88, so
good.
We were running around and stopped and had a great time there also.
I was in the Air Force. We've heard of the Navy.
It's now, all the branches of the
never
military.
Never actually saw.
Did they cut a ribbon at this, or did they take a bottle of champagne and...
No, they cut a ribbon.
Get it on the,
yeah,
oh, okay.
Scott has EPA requirements that don't allow...
Since it was the Navy, it yeah. was...
No, no, they don't allow that in public anymore. The emissions from the glass. You know.
Gotcha. Okay.
They didn't do a flyover?
A sell-by?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say.
All right. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just remind the council, we have our next study session and council meeting will be Monday, August 29th. Also like to invite Ruth and Michelle and Sharon, if they just come forward and sit right here in the front. Mayor and council, I think you have seen some new faces around City Hall the past couple of weeks, but I just wanted to formally introduce these ladies who have joined Mesa. I think be interested in knowing... who they are and their positions. So starting on this side, Sharon Skinner is our new grants coordinator. She's spent the last 12 years working, managing grants with Chicanos por la Casa in Phoenix. So we welcome her. She'll be working as our grants coordinator. And, oh, Ruth is next. Ruth Giese is our Diversity Program Administrator, and she comes to us from the City Manager's Office in Apache Junction. Ruth actually had worked for the city previously, and so she's returned home, and we're glad to have her. And then Michelle Alves on the end is our new Volunteer Coordinator. So she's comes to us having worked with Save the Family. So we're very excited to have these three ladies with us, and they're already being very deeply involved and helping us out already. So I just wanted to welcome them and introduce them to the council.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Good.
That's it.
Thank you. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests to speak from the public?
No request, ma'am.
Okay.
Move to do whatever it is that we're supposed to do next.
The Vice Mayor, no, this is no joke, just put in a motion. He moves to do whatever we're supposed to do next. Ms. Spinner, could we have a formal legal opinion on that? Does that rise to any level of whatever it rises to?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Let's go to E-session.
We have a motion from the Vice Mayor to move into executive session. Second from Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are now moving into executive session. Thank you so very much.